Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
So I creep, yeah, just creeping on a down low, so no one is supposed to show. I've been in like a 90s phase this weekend, like.
Okay, but that song is definitely a choice. I don't know if you're.
I love Creep. I feel like one of my unpopular opinions is like, T-Boz does not get the credit she deserves. Like, she can't blow, but she was always like one of my favorite singers. I just always loved her tone. Always, always, always.
I mean, she has her own, you can always identify her voice.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Well, welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, season 4, episode 14.
Yes, that is the same number frontwards and backwards. I love numbers like that. So 4, 14.
Oh, cool. Yes. So we're still trucking along. Until I go into labor, we are planning to do one more show before the season finale. However, if I go into birthing this next week, this will be the season finale.
And you know what they say, when you plan, God laughs. So right. We'll be like, see you next week. And then you'll be like, actually, I can't. Right.
So we are gonna continue to message and frame this episode as a just in case we don't see you next week. It's been real. Type thing. Okay.
Maybe ..
Yes. So how was your Pride weekend? Wasn't it Pride in New York?
It's Pride every weekend in New York, apparently, in 2024. Every borough has a Pride now.
Yeah, I heard Brooklyn. It was Brooklyn Pride.
It was Queens the weekend before. Then there's Harlem. I love that. Then there's Manhattan. Then there was Albany. And I said, this is a lot of things. And
Pride
a lot of people.
Really expanded.
I love it. And then there's always like the big, big one at the end of June, but it just is so much, which I love. And God bless Eventbrite, because if you're ever looking for something, you just put gay and it'll just give you everything.
Gay.
Like Pride. That mm-hmm. is one of my look, just like a Pride. And every party all around the city of New Jersey will be there. So
beautiful.
Very eventful. Very.
Did you go to any parties?
Oh, yes. I went to too many parties and did not get enough sleep, but you sleep when you're dead. It's Pride weekend. So
yeah, it's true.
My excuse has been, yeah, sorry, it's Pride. So I've tried to sneak in some TV over the weekend when I was not out with the people on the streets.
Well, because we're best friends, you're doing the partying for me and I'm doing the sleeping for you.
Yes. So
you should feel well rested, my love. Because I take naps every single day and still go to bed. My naps are at least an hour, but sometimes, you know, like today, I only just took a 20-minute nap because by the time I started napping, I was like, oh, okay, I got to get up to do the show. So I set an alarm for 20 minutes and I can get up, like I'll be fine. And I will still go into bed at a decent time. It's not even like the naps throw me off and I'll go to bed later. Like, nope. I'm still going to bed like 10, 11 o'clock. Just having a full night's rest.
Do you feel your sleep is better or worse now? Or like, have you noticed the difference?
Well, when I'm actually asleep, it's fine. Like sleep has not been a problem throughout the 9 months. It's just the process of waking up out of my sleep because I have to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's gotten harder just at the end of the pregnancy. I mean, honestly, it's only gotten harder really at the end of the pregnancy. I would say in the early start of the pregnancy, my sleep pattern was off. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night and be up for a while. Then by the time I fell back to sleep, it would be time to get up for work at times. So that was a little rough. But like I said, once I'm asleep, I'm fine. And then like as I got towards the end of the pregnancy and you're just heavy and swollen, it's just so much harder to just get up and go to the bathroom to just take a pee-pee. It's,
It's a whole person like stopping you. You're like, excuse me, I need to go.
Yeah, like I just want to move how I normally move, but I got a whole little person in there that is chilling, by the way, like just chilling. Mm. And yeah, she just kind of like, she makes everything difficult. Like even I got a package today and I was just trying to bend down to just pick up the package. And I was like, I gotta do these breaths to like kind of get myself through the movement of like just bending down to pick something up. And my husband is just laughing at me like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. So yeah, but I should be done. I should be done soon. I know that I am going into the month of July with my baby.
That is it.
Physically, because this is it. This is the last month of this. Now she could be here and do her little cries and coos and all of that. We'll adjust to that. But I need my physical body
back.
Thank you. Exit stage left. Eviction notice served.
Served now. Get out.
Yes. So with that being said, I want to remember to do our little call to action of just, guys, follow us at We Watch Too Much TV, TEA, with the letter V. Like and subscribe on whatever streaming platform you're listening to us on. And what's the last one? Leave a review.
Give us some show to watch. Leave us a review. You know, comment on Apple, Spotify. Let us know. Give us some stars. Give us some suggestions. Because I feel like the summertime is hit or miss with TV shows. It's a lot of stupid game shows. So if there's something that we should be watching, please let me know. Because I'm sometimes looking for more shows. I feel like summer TV is hit or miss. So,
right. I know it'll be a good time for me to adjust to this transition of, because I've even been going into like, you know, we have Roku Kids and I started Marley's YouTube channel of her like, things to watch. And then I'll go into what is it? Hulu has stuff. Everywhere has content for the kids. Oh, Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just kind of preparing the things that I'll be putting on the television with. When she, you know, for her, and even thinking like, okay, how am I going to still watch Housewives with my like, I don't want her to manifest these shit talking energies.
You got to watch it with your headphones in and right, then put the much. TV on for her.
Pretty much. That's literally, I'm going to have to just start watching television on my computer, which I hate, but doing that with my headphones and then just letting her have free reign of the television. But it'll be fun. Nice sacrifice. Nice sacrifice. But on that note, let's get into what we've been watching in our weekly grab. All right, best friend, what have you been able to squeeze into your party-filled schedule?
So the first show on my weekly grab is, I just want to give a quick shout out to Netflix because I feel like they're doing a really good job of getting TV shows specifically by Black creators and showrunners that were just not talked about or not promoted on big enough platforms and kind of giving them a second wind. Like Girlfriends, they did before, and One-on-One. I know a lot of people who didn't even know these shows, but their latest one is called Act Your Age. It stars Tisha Martin, Kim Whitley, and Yvette Nicole Brown. First of all, Miss Gina or Tisha Campbell, sorry, no longer Martin. She is divorced. And her ex-husband is dating her lookalike, which is kind of weird. Anyway, his new wife looks like it is Martin and Gina's daughter. It's weird. Anyway, called Act Your Age. She stars in it with Kim Whitley and Yvette Nicole Brown. They're all best friends. They're kind of like their 50s and kind of their second turn of life. Yvette Nicole's Brown character is a newly widowed woman with an older daughter. Kim Whitley's character is like a rich real estate developer and she has a son. And then you have Tisha Campbell, who is kind of like that fun older auntie who's going to drink. She's going to do some edibles and she's going to have a good time. And I just love watching all Black cast on television, but I really like the diversity of it. It's relevant because it's showing women trying to like get their groove back after divorce, dating younger than them, and they're women of a certain age, kind of going through things with their kids, with society, and it's really, really funny. And Tisha Campbell, like, I love him, My Wife and Kids. I love him, Martin. But even in this show, I'm like, girl, you can make me laugh. Like, she is really, really good. She makes a show. It was on Bounce, that network, which was like it's a smaller network that has mostly kind of like a Tubi, but not just a little bit more established. But they canceled it. So you have the first and only season on Netflix. And I think it's funny. I hope Netflix thinks about, you know, just like they're giving these suit shows like another season. I would love to see some of our Black shows just have like a final season and bring them back to life. But you want something funny, kind of giving me an insight into like, you know, life at 50 don't stop. Life at 60 don't stop. Sometimes you got to start all over. And it's just really, really funny, different type of show. But you also can tell when the budget is low because they have the same three backgrounds almost every season.
Well, no, but shout out to Netflix for at least amplifying Black content at a time when all these other major networks appear to be doing the opposite. So shout out to them.
It's amazing. They did this. There was another show that I've never seen, like My Wife and Kids. They have Martin. They have like the Good Times cartoon, which I said I was going to watch. But they're really getting into like diverse content, giving people or these smaller shows that I never would have watched a chance. So shout out to Netflix and shout out to Ack Your Age.
Yes. Well, you started with a shout out to Netflix. So I just want to start with a shout out to the new movie that hit the box office this past weekend. It wasn't necessarily on my weekly grab. I literally just wanted to shout out Bad Boys Ride or Die. Such a good film. Way better than Bad Boys 3, which honestly, Bad Boys 3 should have been titled Bad Boys 3 Ride or Die. And this should have been titled Bad Boys for Life. And Will Smith acknowledged that. It was honestly a miss. Like, why did y'all do that? That's the stupidest shit ever. But this one completely makes up for Bad Boys 3. And they still tied into the story of Bad Boys 3. So you still need to watch Bad Boys 3 before watching Bad Boys 4 for the storyline. But it was so good. It's so action-packed. It really is worth going to the movies again because, you know, we're in a time where you don't necessarily have to go to the movies. It will be on a streaming provider within the next couple of months. Airplane, if you travel, it'll probably be on there. You
give
know,
it 30 so, days. Give it 30 days.
Yeah, it'll be on there. But this one, it was so good. I actually, you know, I work in media, so I got invited to a screening last Monday, and I just couldn't make it. I didn't feel like going, you know, it was just one of those days of just the pregnancy was taking a toll on me. So I decided to stay home. But I knew like, I'll go see it this weekend with my husband and we'll go to like one of those really good theaters where it's with the plush seats. There's a really good one over here in LA that's downtown called the Alamo Draft House. I hate that I'm shouting it out because I don't want more people.
Oh, no, they have it in Brooklyn. It's amazing. We have
Right. You order your food and they bring it to you throughout the film. Very comfortable seats. So that's how we watched it. And it's such a good film. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone, but it's worth the watch. And anyone talking crap about Will Smith and all da 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 da. It's not about Will Smith. It's about Martin and Will. Okay.
Yes. Can we stop forgetting Martin? Because I feel like everybody's talking about Will. Like, hello, it's not just him.
Yes. Martin Lawrence is an executive producer. Will Smith is a producer. Martin Lawrence is an executive producer on this film. And it's really good. And we still, at the end of the day, love the Bad Boys franchise. That's what it shows. It's not so much about Will and freaking like, oh, ignore whatever. He slapped Chris. It's about, this is a franchise that has been around for 30 years and they have a diehard fan base. That's not going to change. People are still going to support the movie. And that's just that on that. So definitely go see it this week, next weekend. It really is worth the watch.
Now, in your personal opinion, because I don't remember 3. I just remember 2 with Gabrielle Union.
I know. I honestly forgot 3 too. And then I'm watching the film and I'm like, oh, that's right. It was about Will Smith's half Spanish son.
You know what? I think I'm going to, between today and Saturday, because I'll probably watch it while Nino has his vet appointment. I got to watch the first 3 because I hate missing like inside jokes. So
Wait, you haven't watched the first 3 Bad Boys films?
I have, but I haven't watched them recently. So I've seen all 3. I don't remember much about them. So I want to make sure I'm like kind of caught up.
Right.
So I'm going to do that before Saturday so I could go watch it while I take my doggy to the vet. So good calling
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, it's good. Definitely if, because I had forgot about three and I didn't rewatch it. But when we were watching the film, they remind you. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay. It would be even, I'm kind of thinking of, I need to just go back and watch the third one just to re-remind myself of everything. But I already saw four. But yeah, and I wouldn't mind with them doing a spinoff with the half Spanish son, Armando, and Reggie.
That might be the spinoff.
Yes, Reggie really steps up to the plate in Bad Boys 4. So, you know, good movie. But on to my actual first on my weekly grab. And it's really short because I didn't watch the whole entire series. I was literally in the nail salon last week and they had Baby Reindeer on Netflix on. And I was watching it because at first I was just like, first of all, I was like confused. Like, why are they watching this? This is a little, you know, it's a little X-rated. There's sex scenes. And when I finally started paying attention, it was when the crazy lady threw the cocaine in the face. But it's basically about, it's based on a true story about a crazy lady in London stalking a man and his family. Did you talk about this already?
I did. Baby Reindeer. Yeah.
Well, why did, wait. Because I'm like thinking, I'm like, now I just, why did you let me keep it on my weekly grab if you talked about it?
Because you saw it now. So I want your insight. I saw it too.
I'm skipping this. I'm skipping this. My first on my weekly grab was Bad Boys Ride or Die.
I'm like, it was so good.
But now, it's like, now that that's my pregnancy brain. I'm like, now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, I definitely feel like Tania talked about this.
Yes, it's an amazing show.
It's about to allow me to re-talk about something she already talked about. Okay, I'm definitely not going to do that. I'm happy I talked about Bad Boys Ride or Die. That was first of my weekly grab. So what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on mine is the limited series called Clipped. It is it is based on the LA Clippers and Donald Sterling and that whole fallout. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly told through the eyes of the assistant slash mistress turned whistleblower V. Stefanino. She was basically just obsessed with being famous, obsessed with being the it girl, obsessed with the Kardashians and fame and money, and went to a Super Bowl party, ended up meeting Donald Sterling, became his side chick, and then moved her way into like being his assistant. And then from being his assistant, of course, it became something different. And it wasn't that she was just a mistress. She's a disrespectful mistress. And she tried to be the wife and come for the wife. So I'm only 1.5 episodes in, but it is a true story. I do remember when this first came out and the internet was ablaze because you heard this basketball team owner talking about his black head coach and his black and mixed team members, like there was some type of trophy. It was just so racist, so like disgusting how he was. And I mean, low key, she wanted to have a name, so she called a name. But it's interesting seeing his wife since 1955, who I Googled it, they are still married. See the wife kind of like look like, I can't believe, like, it's one thing, like, I've known he's been cheating on me, but this girl is really like bold with it. She's like, I'm gonna be his wife, you're gonna be taken away. He bought her a $1.8 million house.
Ooh,
what? The wife was like, I'm following the money. So it's interesting to see how, like, before the tape went out, he had so many microaggressions that the team knew about, how he would treat Blake Griffin, who's this halfway half black player, like the golden child. All the crap he was talking about Chris Paul and another black player, and just how he would just how I've seen white men talk about or down to black men as if they're superior. And it's really disgusting. Right. And that he was doing this forever before anything came out. So I think it's getting really good. I love things that are based on a true story, because every time I watch an episode, I like Google, like, did this really happen? And it really happens. So
yep. I've been meaning to watch it. I want to watch it with Mark. But yeah. And how's Lawrence Fishburne as Doc Rivers?
You know what? Very convincing. He has a little bit of his accent. Doc Rivers has a very distinct like voice. He looks like him. He acts like him. He has his mannerisms. And it's really believable. And I didn't know that Doc Rivers actually used to play for the Clippers. He actually knew Donald Sterling was a piece of crap. And he thought he could have the Superman syndrome. Like, I could save him.
Right.
Like, he'll just I'll whip him into shape once I'm head coach, and it gets worse because he will call him and be like, hey, help the little black guys, or like,
ugh,
they have an attitude, so make them feel bad. It's just
that
so,
is crazy. Oh, goodness gracious.
So insane.
I'm happy he caught his karma, but it still just sucks that there's a lot of people like that, that, you know, are so successful, have money and all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, he's still a billionaire. So
pretty much
no one cares about you, Donald Sterling. But it's just telling the beginning of the downfall. So
yeah,
hopefully it's I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes, but I'm only up to the second one. But it's really, really good so far.
OK,
what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on mine is the Challenge All Stars. We talk about the show every week, but it's a good season. So this last episode, I was cracking up at Adam's scathing read against Steve, who he voted in to elimination. So it's like, wait, like, but I didn't know Adam had so much sass, but it was really funny to see. I totally agree with Steve's move. I was here for it. And then I just wanted to, you know, shout out Jay for staying true to his word and giving and saving Leroy. You know, he did kind of similar to what we saw last week with Laurel and Cam. But unlike Laurel, this was actually even a challenge that Jay should have changed his mind and not did, because it had to do with identifying colors underwater. And Jay is colorblind, but he still did it because he gave Leroy his word, and he didn't want to, you know, he said he didn't want to be Laurel. And then the whole time you see Laurel just looking like a guilty ass. It's just looking stupid. But, you know, in the end, Jay went home. He saved Leroy. It did suck, honestly, seeing everyone vote Leroy in so easily.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Over Ryan. But in a way, I understand, because it's like, who would you rather go against in a final? Ryan or Leroy? And so I get it. But it's like, time and time again, this is just what happens. And I feel like Leroy has gotten to a place, you know, because we know he really took a break from MTV after he said he wasn't going to come back because of just the underlying racism and microaggressions, but just being swept under the rug. But I still just feel like time and time again, he comes into it with good intentions and he still gets singled out. And I don't necessarily want to say it's because of his race, but I just do think it comes off so easy for the predominantly white cast to just kind of be like, oh, Leroy, you know, or Cyrus, you know. It's just like, you just see it season after season. And
all the time. And I'm just rooting for them. I just feel like it's just
even in the instance with like Cam versus Cara Maria, you know, you mentioned it briefly last week, but yeah, like if you look at the fans and the viewers of what they're actually saying, it's like they really, over Cara Maria blatantly being like a brat and, you know, wanting things to go her way and not liking how voting goes. If you see someone kind of do it the same thing or not even to that caliber, and she's black and a mom, it's just like, oh, Cam, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, wow. That's crazy. But that's America. And honestly, not just America. That's the world that we live in.
Legit. So. I was just surprised by Adam. Like, how are you so angry? Like, you don't deserve anything. You were just the you did this.
When the camera panned to like show them during the elimination and then back to his confessional and he had his middle finger up, I lost. I was like, oh, he's not like, playing.
Fuck off.
He is mad. He is really, really mad. He is not feeling Steve, but you voted him in. Like, hello.
Mm. Yeah. So Ace just, sorry, I have to call out when Leroy was like, it's okay, Ace. You don't have to be the nicest person. Because
oh my God. Ace. Why is Ace always trying to be the nicest guy in the world?
I love everybody. You know, I just made a promise. I just love everybody's strong. Everybody's a leader.
I'm not voting.
Everybody's great.
It's like Ace.
I'm not saying the name. I can't. I promised everybody. I love everybody.
Ace is hilarious. That's why he's never won. But yeah, that was my week to grab. What's last on yours?
Last on mine is a comedy special, which I wanted to watch because I think good promo matters. I think to your point of Bad Boys for Life, they have had really good promo. So this one is Good Grief. It's Marlon Wayans, his comedy special. He really talks about losing his mom and his dad within like a couple years apart. and its effect on him. It was funny. It wasn't like the funniest thing I've ever seen, but it was funny. I did chuckle when he talked about his dad being obsessed with his mom. So his mom must have had good poom because his dad was like obsessed and in love until his dying day. And like just how much he was like all over and just like how you should trust your parents. You should speak to your parents all the time. And then how hard it just has been for him and like the transition for him. I thought it was, he played voice notes or voicemails from his parents, showed pictures of him. So I like that part. Like I said, it was funny. Wasn't the funniest, but I do like, I've never seen a comedy special like this where he talked about just his parents being older and the effect it had on his siblings and how his mom was actually the funniest Wayne's. And one more joke about how his father was a devout Jehovah Witness, but his mother said he really did that because he was poor and he wanted to buy 10 kids gifts four times a year. That be dying like true. We probably made that up. What's the, she started having them kids. Like, actually, we don't celebrate this. But it's just a really, really, it's cute. It was a good watch. Like I said, yeah. It was funny. There were funny moments, not the funniest thing.
Yeah,
just,
I think that's similar to, I mean, all of his specials, really. I don't think he's super funny, but I love his transparency. I love how he is finding just making his life relatable and comedy material as someone who we didn't necessarily see as a stand-up comic throughout his career. He's always been a comedic actor or even a serious actor, but him taking on like, I'm going to start doing stand up later in his career and actually doing good at it. Cause the last special was, what was it? Cause God Loves Me or something. It was literally all about the
Chris Rock and Will Smith.
Yeah. The slap, yeah, but yeah. He like made it, it was really good. So this one, if he's talking more about his family and stuff, I just like the way he's going about it. And I love the Wayans family in general, but definitely Marlon is my favorite. I've met him before and he's just so down to earth and so cool. And he's honestly even funnier in person.
I'm here for a some type of show. It doesn't have to be reality, but I'm here for some type of documentary, some show.
Like a little docuseries or something.
Yes. I know his brother Damon Wayans and his son, they're coming out with a new show in the fall. So we're definitely covering that. At least I am, called like Pops or something, where they play father and son. So that's supposed to be coming out on CBS in the fall, but they just could do no wrong. I love them. I'm still waiting for White Chicks too, honestly.
Yes.
I would love White Chicks too so badly.
All of them. Don't Be a Menace to. Oh, they can do real sequels on a lot of their films because they were all classics.
Love them. But that was last on my weekly grind.
I've been a Power fan from the start of it. I just haven't really talked about the show because it hasn't really been that great. But the season premiere of Power Book 2 Ghost, it's season 4. It's the final season. They've announced it. It started off so good. Amazing season premiere, action-packed. We're seeing Tariq St. Patrick. He's at war with the Okiki family and Monet, played by Mary J. Blige, her kids, because they know, or I think they believe that Tariq shot at her or whatever. And now she's like in the hospital on fighting for her life, but getting premonitions from her two exes, one of which she murdered. So she's having those. We see Tariq able to call a truce with both sides, but just after a lot of bloodshed. And the episode ends with the introduction of Michael Ealy's character. He is, a DEA agent gets killed, who happened to be the nephew of Angela Valdez. And if you can remember Angela Valdez, that was Ghost, his lover. That was the one he went to high school with and he was still in love with. And he started cheating on his wife, Tasha, aka Notori Naughton, with Angela Valdez. So now speed up to season 4 and her nephew is a DEA agent, but he gets killed. So his mother, Angela Valdez's sister, she's like, Tariq St. Patrick did this. And so Michael Ealy, she's telling this to Michael Ealy's character. And now the one thing I'll say with the Power Universe, they always really need a really good actual actor every season. And so you could see that this season it will be Michael Ealy, because just from his introduction, it's like, oh, he acted, you know, because he's a real actor. So it looks
like he's a gangster. No, he's a DEA agent, you said.
But he looks like he's a crazy one. You know, he always, he does, villain roles are his forte. So it looks like there's more to him just being like, he's not just a good cop. You know, like he looks like he's a eerily sinister, psychotic, good, maybe even not even so good, but just a cop.
Do you think he's going to sing, "This is a big rich town"? I love that. I don't watch the show.
I was like, what? Why would he sing that?
But I love the song.
Does Michael Ealy sing? No.
You know what? He's played a singer in some movie. Every time I think of him, I think about For Color Girls in the movie when he was one of the husbands. But he's one of those actors, to your point. He's good in whatever he does. He's actually a really, really, really good actor.
Well, the theme song is sang by Joe. So it just is the same song that plays at the start of each episode. The characters of the show do not sing the theme song. So.
Do you think it's good that it's ending? Or are you surprised?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It was honestly, I never really even cared for these spinoffs. I only thought the only spinoff that needed to happen was a prequel series on Ghost and Tommy when they were like young coming up. And they just went all the other way. They started one with about Kanan. And that one's pretty good. I'm hoping that they use that series to then go into Tommy and Ghost's start as drug dealers. But then they got this one about Tariq. And then they got the one about Tommy in Chicago. And honestly, I'm not really impressed by the one with Tommy in Chicago either. So I really was not a fan of the spinoffs. I thought it should have just been a prequel about Ghost and Tommy, young Ghost and Tommy. But to me, I feel like they missed the mark. So yeah, I'm here for the end of Power Book 2. And I think, yeah, just put the efforts into Kanan, the Kanan show, and really turn that into the prequel series about Tommy and Ghost. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like 50 Cent said he was kind of mad at Stars or something. So I don't know if it was another one or he's just like, forget it, we're done.
Well, I'm sure he's mad because he didn't want the show to end, but it needs to end and that it shouldn't have went the direction that they were going in. Because just in my honest opinion, like they weren't really good. Like this season premiere started off really good. It ended good. Season 3 ended good, but it was just, I didn't even like season 3. I thought season 3 was trash. So it's like they're picking it up now and it's the final season. So I'm like, good, go out with a bang. Because honestly, I just really didn't think Tariq needed to carry the show. You know? No. But yeah, that's it. That's the end of our weekly grab. So like and subscribe, rate and review. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much Tea to the V.
Like the tea you drink, T-E-A.
Yes, the tea you drink, T-E-A with a V. Now we'll get into our special segment that we do periodically whenever there's something worth talking about. And it is Hot Topics. Okay, so last week it was announced season 3 of one of Me and Tanae's favorite shows, Traitors, the cast.
I can't wait.
Yes, so let's announce this cast and hear our thoughts because Tanae felt very strongly about this. So we have Bob Harper, who was on The Biggest Loser, Bob the Drag Queen, one of our faves from RuPaul's Drag Race, Brittany Haynes from Big Brother, Carolyn Weiger from Survivor, Chanel Ayan, Real Housewives of Dubai,
Queen,
Rochelle Staus from Selling Sunset, Sierra Miller from Summer House, Danielle Reyes from Big Brother, Dolores Catania from Real Housewives of New Jersey, crazy ass Dorinda Medley from Real Housewives of New York. Dylan Efron from, he's the little brother of Zac Efron. So what, he appeared on his show Down to Earth. He basically is.
Yeah, he had a show on like National Geographic or Disney Plus. Like his brother and him are like very much enthusiasts and they like bungee jump and swim and they do a lot of like.
Okay, but it's given nepotism because he does not, he was not on anything really. Gabby Windy from The Bachelorette, Jeremy Collins from Survivor, Lord Ivar Mountbatten. He's part of the British monarchy's extended family as the second cousin of King Charles III and the first to be in an openly gay relationship. Nice. Nikki Love Garcia, it. from the WWE. She's the twins with her sister Brie. She's also, this is the one that's the ex of John Cena, right?
Yes.
Boston Rob Mariano from Survivor. A lot of Survivor. God, Robin Dixon from Real Housewives of Potomac, formerly of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Boo.
And Britney's ex-fiance, Sam Asghari. We also have Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules. Tony Vlachos, Survivor. Wells Adam, The Bachelorette. All right. What are our thoughts, Tanea? Because I know you have a lot of thoughts.
I hope they make Tom Sandoval a traitor purposely so people could guess it and vote him out. Because I don't want to see him on TV anymore. I'm just tired of him crying and whining. Like, I wasn't a Vanderpump girl. I got kind of into it because you got me very excited last season with Scandoval. So I was kind of like a clips girl. But I'm just over him on TV. That's my hottest take. Second take is, y'all are mad at the challenge because y'all didn't put not one mother lover on this
not
season.
Not one.
And it's kind of corny.
I can't believe that they could. Because I'm not a Survivor fan, so I don't even know these people. And I'm just like, what? Like, where's the challenge at? And are y'all, it's like, were y'all that bothered? Because two people from the challenge won last season. So y'all said no people from the challenge. How do you go
I think that won't happen if it's Survivor or if it's a housewife. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a team. Like, that's crazy.
No, because season one was won by somebody from the Survivor and season two was won by somebody from the challenge. So now it's like, you're basically just saying, we prefer Survivor over the challenge. Because that it wouldn't make any sense why you wouldn't at least bring one to two former cast from the challenge.
Like, and they could have been more recent. They didn't have to be so, like, you know, like classic, like CT and Johnny
Bananas. They put the most random ass people from Survivor and Bachelors and Bachelorettes on there. But it's like, to me, it just shows clear bias. I don't know. Not feeling it.
Somebody did put on TikTok that they feel like Dylan Efron's Zach's little brother is going to be this season's Burgalicious. Like, he's going to be like the cute, nice, like the comedic kind of like relief that we need. What are your thoughts on the cast?
I think Robin is going to be the Sheree of the season. I'm thinking she's going to be clueless because she always is. And someone said she couldn't even spot the traitor in her own house, let alone how she going to spot.
No.
Yes. Dorinda is such a loose cannon. I am honestly nervous to see how she's going to interact with the cats because she just, you know, especially when she gets a little drinky drink, she says the craziest thing. So that one. And then we have Ayan.
She's confused about everything, but she's funny.
I'm just hoping like cultural and language barriers don't get the best of her. And she puts her foot in her mouth and gets herself voted out. But I do think they picked a strong alum from RuPaul's Drag Race this season. I don't see.
Yeah, Bob's definitely going to make it further.
Bob ain't going to be letting nobody sit here and try to point him out and make him a target early on like we saw last season with Peppermint.
And he's funny. He's a comedian. So I think he'll be really good at cracking jokes and making light of everything. Who decided, you know what we need? Britney Spears' ex-husband.
Literally.
We don't have enough star power. So let's call this random man, say he's an actor, because I've never seen him act in anything, or a dancer. No. I've never seen him behind anybody. Y'all gonna give him a job. And yeah, I know y'all really hired him because he's Britney's ex. Because I've never seen that man before.
And there's a gag order, so he can't even talk about her.
He can't even say her name. He has to be like, I was married to someone famous. With Whitney Tears. Because you can't say Britney Spears.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, pretty much fail. I really am not impressed with this season's casting compared to the first two seasons. So hopefully the season is just actually good. I also heard that Lindsay from Summer House was actually originally cast, but word on the street, rumors are allegedly, she might be pregnant with child and she was trying to hide it. And Dorinda blurted out the news. And so that's how she got replaced by Sierra. That's what I heard.
Ooh, and it's not Carl's, I'm guessing, because they not together.
Right. It's definitely not Carl's. It's the new guy that she started dating in January. That's what Carl revealed in the first episode of the reunion, which was actually really, really good. So,
And to your point, my last take is that all these Survivor people, like, I've heard of Survivor, but these people that they have are not like players. Like, this is like, I knew of Poverty, I knew of Sandra, like, I've seen clips of them. These people, besides Boston Rob, Boston Rob's like a big reality TV guy. I don't know the rest of these people.
Right.
And I know the Big Brother, it's just,
it's to me, it's really like, I feel like this season they're turning it into a Survivor spinoff. It's mad people from Survivor, and that just makes no sense. So I really hope they don't do that ever again. Like, level the playing field. There's tons of different other former reality shows. Like, you could get people from everywhere. Why do y'all keep getting pulling everybody? I didn't even really say much from Big Brother.
Yeah, I saw two. Brittany and Danielle are the only two from Big Brother.
It's like they could have divvied that out by adding somebody from the challenge. Because it's like, why do you got all these damn Survivor people?
Yeah, and we don't even know. And like, I'm just really like, why? Maybe nobody wanted to do it. I don't know. But
maybe.
We got to see. I'm hoping it's good TV. I'm just not looking forward to Tom Sandoval because he cries about fucking everything.
Oh, gosh, girl. Yeah. Now that you watched it, you see, he's been like that since season one. And it's really insufferable. That's
like, how could women date him? He's just
How could you? Yeah. I could never date someone like that. Yeah. But he is like that from season one. Like, he will just cry. And like cry, like not even just like a little like, no, I love you. Like, it's so gross. Literally. Yes. Yes and yes. So yeah, that was our hot topics for this week. Now let's get into who we are disappointed in with our piss poor performance. Okay, who's first on your list? Or, well, who's on your list, best friend?
Well, this piss poor is an interesting one because I don't know if it's a person or a plant. So recently, there's just been a lot of talks, articles, kind of things about Real Housewives of Atlanta. As we know, there's been a casting update. It's Portia, it's Kenya, it's Drew, and then we have Shamia, and then we have these two new girls, I think, Brittany and Kelly, I believe their names are. I can't tell if this is like the drama is just there, it's getting better this season, and these girls are really don't like each other, or this is truly original Bravo and Andy, like planting stuff. And like, let's just say that they had a fight because ain't nobody really watched season 15. We want these people back for season 16. So my piss poor is only if this is not true. Y'all wasting our time. Because I just feel like I've never seen like Atlanta like have so many leaks.
Yeah.
And then you have Simon and Portia. And I honestly can't tell if it just so happens that all of this juicy stuff is happening or they're trying to put 20 on 10 because Potomac didn't do that well. Like, a lot of the housewives aren't maybe like housewiving like they used to be, where everybody's talking about like this one episode or moment. It's not the same no more. So right. My piss point is to the leaks only if they are not real. I've just been seeing a lot of articles like housewives aren't housewiving, Jersey's okay, OC is so-so, Atlanta, like they're having all these leaks and stuff. I don't know if I'm trusting.
I mean, honestly, just from some of the things I was already seeing before whatever happened with Kenya and Brittany at her Kenya Moore hair care event, I was just feeling like, is it going to get a little like Love and Hip Hop-y this season? Because just some of the things that Brittany was putting on social media, it wasn't giving housewives, it was giving Love and Hip Hop. And then just what recently happened at Kenya's hair care event, it's definitely giving Love and Hip Hop, it's giving ghetto. So Kenya's accused of printing out sexually explicit images of allegedly Brittany giving oral sex to someone and sharing this at her hair event. And, you know, Kenya's denying it, but it's like multiple reports coming out, even at Page Six, confirming like, no, that's what happened. And what I can say is Kenya does have a history of picking on the newbies. It's what she does. It's her thing.
And she throws a little button, like a slot, like right. Somebody coming for her spot.
It's not nothing new. It's not like unknown behavior from her. This is what she does. So I just don't think anything like that should be condoned. But at the same time, if it's going to start going into like revenge porn and stuff, it's like, All right, now y'all just killed the whole show. It's really unfortunate because this literally used to be the best franchise. But right. y'all are now letting on baby mamas, rappers, baby mamas, and letting Kenya just get too out the wall with her antics because we know she can. It's why she got her ass beat in the past because, you know, you got to reel her in because she could go too far if you let her. I don't know. And then even everything with Portia and Simon, and he's not allowing her to talk about certain things. It's like, I don't really know if we're going to get much out of this upcoming season that we're hoping to get. And
that's how I feel.
Yeah. If they can't really
hype or we could watch it.
If they're not going to be able to bring back Nene, I don't know what's going to happen with Atlanta. It's like, they're going to keep trying to drag it along, but it's never going to go back to what it was. So what's the point?
Yeah, I'm not pissed for us, but I'm trying to make us like just hype it up because I feel like, I don't know.
Right.
No, not feeling that authentic to me. Just something about
yeah.
it.
Something's off. Yeah. I don't know. But all right. Well, my piss poor is going to Kamal on Food Stars with Gordon Ramsay and Lisa Vanderpump. So Kamal, you are getting my piss poor for completely sucking in the bar challenge. The two teams had designed their own unique bar experience. Team Vanderpump, which Kamal was on, came up with a royal theme called The Poor Palace, where guests would be greeted at the door and introduced to the bar. Like, he was supposed to introduce the guests to the whole bar. Like, ladies and gentlemen, introducing Jerusalem. But Kamal failed at this job as the greeter. He greeted the first few guests, and then he just got lost in the crowd, having small talk with people and completely ignoring the guests waiting outside to get in. He walked around humming this stupid-ass song, just and appeared completely lost in the sauce. The other team did a desert hideout with a random desert theme. While they made the mistake of not having a mocktail option, they still ultimately won because their drinks were just better. Whereas Lisa Vanderpump's team, their drinks were horrible. They put a 21-year-old at the bar, and then everyone didn't get greeted because Kamal, who also thought he did nothing wrong, stuck as the greeter, which was the huge part of the experience. So in the end, no surprise there, Kamal got voted out, but I'm dragging him because I just wanted more from him. And the way he was just so clueless was just hilarious. Hilarious to watch, but also disappointing to watch. So.
Definitely saw the clips. Definitely saw people walking in. He's mad late.
I looked the part. I had on my costume. She's like, I don't give a shit about the costume.
I know Lisa was mad because she's a bar yes. woman. Like,
right. I know if anybody should have won that challenge, it was Lisa.
It should have been her. Yeah,
but it's hilarious enough. You know, the last challenge was a food challenge. And if anyone should have won that, it should have been Gordon Ramsay, but his team lost the food challenge and Lisa's team lost the bar challenge. So it's showing so far, like you necessarily don't know who can excel in what. But I do like the show. I'm liking it more and more each episode. But yeah.
Welcome to the poor bar.
Come on. And seeing so far, it's been two men that have gone home. And I think a lot of it has to do with their ego, where they just don't see where they could be more of a team player and just thinking just too much like individuals. So yeah, we'll see what episode 3 holds. But all right, let's get into who we are rooting for with our yes segment. Who do you have, best friend?
So I am rooting for whoever or whatever. Whoopi Goldberg, her powers, ABC, Disney, for the beauty that was the 30th anniversary / reunion of Sister Act 2 that was on The View this past week. I've been watching those clips over and over. It just was such a joyous occasion to me. I love seeing like behind the scenes information about like shooting. I was a little annoyed because everybody talking about Lauren, and Lauren, you couldn't even send in a video. You was too busy. You couldn't even be like, hey, y'all, I love y'all. I miss y'all. Thank you.
Of course not.
Anywho, like, I just felt like it could have been such an opportunity to kind of just stay connected because, you know, she was, like, that was her breakout role before the Fugees. Mm-hmm. That's who people got to know her as. So I thought it would have been beautiful, but they had Chevrolet Ralph and the Emmy Award women is saying, I'm a come, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that. But it just was, I loved watching them practice. A lot of the actors, like our boy Jamal, a.k.a. Ryan Toby from City High, He did Oh Joyful Joyful and Oh Happy Day. I was so happy in my house singing all those songs, and I watched the movie for the 15,000th time. So that just made my week. That's honestly what I've been watching all week instead of like new TV shows, is the same performances of Joyful Joyful and Oh Happy Day. It was so good. So just, I love nostalgia. So just give me more of that. I wish I would have went to HBCU so I could go see A Different World reunion, because they've been doing an HBCU tour, but I'm just here for it. So give me more reunions, 30, 20 years coming back. Give it all to me. Joyful, Joyful. Oh, should have started the podcast with that song, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
Joyful, Joyful. Oh, we adore thee. Did and it wanted for me.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was good. I honestly, I started to tear up. Because I think also, too, what it is, we're at that age. Mm-hmm. We're at that age of, like, nostalgia really hits when you're deep, deep, deep in adulthood. You've been doing it now for, like, 15, 16 years and or over nearly 20. And you're knowing it's only just more adulthood to go.
And I know.
You have those things that remind you of, you know, Sister Act 2 came out. We were little kids. And it's also a movie that everybody watched, not once, not twice, but like a million times. And we just knew it so well. We would reference it in everything. And so just kind of seeing that, where it's like the people come back and they're looking older. So, you know, like, I'm older and I'm old. And it's just, yeah, nostalgia definitely hits more, I would say, post 30. So, it was just a really special moment. I really love that Whoopi gave that to us. And it would have been nice not only to have Lauryn Hill there, but the two hip hop guys.
So I don't know about the white guy, but the black guy, he reportedly had a report of essay on set. So I feel like they've kind of distanced themselves from him.
On set of that movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
I saw a report. Like, it wasn't necessarily he went to jail, but there were like reports that he was making some people feel uncomfortable. And maybe Frank K didn't want to be it no more. You know, maybe Frank K.
Yeah.
But I did something about the other rapper that you said. I think they might not have asked. I'm just assuming, but I would have loved to see everybody. But it was still beautiful to see. It was still beautiful to see. And at least that they got the other main singer, Tanya, because they couldn't get Lauryn. And I didn't even know that that was her in that gospel group, because I've heard of that gospel group. I've seen some of their songs. I did not know that was her. She looks completely different.
Right. Well, good one, though. Well, for my yes, I am giving it to Tanea's. Tanea is the mistress, the hopeful mistress to her marriage. But Kristen Kish of Top Chef on Bravo. I watch the show week after week, and I just think Kristen is just she's just perfect. She's beautiful, stylish, relatable. She has personality, but also like, it's not an overbearing personality at all. It's literally just the perfect level of everything. I just love how she is leading the show, because it's her first season, you know, as the new host. And I just love it. Also, this last episode, it was also nice seeing the final five, because they're down to the final five. They got treated to dinner at, well, no, now it's final four, right? They got treated to dinner at Restaurante Bartolotta in Wisconsin with two-time James Beard award-winning chef Paul Bartolotta. So it's just really nice and classy vibes. And I actually want to now go to that restaurant. I want to go to Wisconsin.
Right? Doesn't this make you want to go eat cheese?
Yes. I'm not. Well, Tanea loves cheese. I'm not so cheese. Big on cheese, but I just want to go there and eat. I'll have some cheese, but I really just want to eat. Give me all the good meals. Because there's so many like really dope hidden gems in the country. Shout out to Kristen Kish just for being beautiful. Yeah.
I will happily be your mistress, Kristen.
Oh, and my God.
Your wife will have permission. I will happily be your third party. Just call me.
Lord.
Let me know. I love her. No, she just seems like a sweet, nice person. I love her outfits, everything she wears. Yes. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah, like she's just like perfection, literally.
Like, all right, I'm about to start cooking. So catch me on season.
Maybe you'll meet her. Right, exactly. Well, let's get into our last segment of the day, some positivity. Where we leave out with a positive quote or affirmation. So, best friend, what do you have?
Never forget how far you have come. Everything you have gotten through, all the times you have pushed on, even when you felt like you couldn't. All the mornings you got out of bed, no matter how hard it was. All the times you wanted to give up, but you never got through. But you got through another day. Never forget how much strength you have learned and developed along the way. From Amazon.com.
Oh, Amazon.
She pulled a meme. I had to take a page out of your book.
She pulled a meme. It's funny. Amazon. I was actually going to do like a regular quote, a regular little Pinteresty quote. But I was like, wait, this could be our season finale. And, you know, I'm really entering this new chapter of my life. So mine is about motherhood. So it goes, isn't it funny? One day, you're the girl with all the time in the world. Working, going to the gym, hanging out with friends at the drop of a hat. Okay, I'm getting emotional. It's really weird. And then one day, you bring this tiny human into the world. Caring for them, loving them, keeping them safe and happy now fills your days. Then you realize this is what you have been waiting for your whole life. You are now whole. The old you is in the past. This is what you are made for. Motherhood, the best version of yourself. And this is from Emily King. Okay. Oh,
so beautiful. Yeah.
I don't know why I got emotional, but I think it's because, you know, I'm there. Like, I'm literally.
It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before you know it, you're right. Definitely not going to. It's going to be before. But your life is never going to be the same. It's
ever. But I had like, a lot of fun. I'm still going to have more fun. There's still more fun to be had.
Yeah, you ain't dying. You just got to call somebody before you look. You got to check the milk before you have fun now. You got to.
Exactly. It's just different. It's going to be, everything's going to change. But I'm happy I had a lot of fun. I'm happy you're my best friend. And that we've been able to just create some of the most beautiful memories together just as us, you know, because now she's
now we can bring Marley and the baby carriage because to my point, we ain't going nowhere if the babies can't come. I've been telling people all summer I need a plus one for my puppy. If it's puppy free, it ain't for me. Okay,
right,
our kids will be with us. I am just so proud of your natural growth into love, marriage, parenthood. It's just a natural progression, your time, your journey. And I'm just excited. Like, I'm so excited for, like, motherhood adjacent.
Not from me, but
around me.
Thank you. Like I said, thank you for being my best friend. Like, she's honestly the best, guys. Like, I am so blessed to just have her in my life. And she shows it every time at the times when it really matters the most. And I get so many compliments from people for having Tanae as my best friend, because it's just like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky to have her as your best friend. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, I knew that like for 20 years now, but it definitely shows more now in our older age where it really
matters. I'm honored. I feel like you can never do enough. It's hard, but I try to just love on the people that I love. And I give the love that I receive. So it is easy to love people when they are lovable. And I just love when the people I love are happy. So I'm just so proud of you and just how you're handling this, how you did everything, how you want to do what you always do, what you're going to do, because that's what you are. You're going to do what the fuck you want to do because it's you. And that is it, period, point blank. And I just know you're going to be the best mom. Like, I know you're going to be the best mom, the nicest mom, the sweetest mom. You're going to do a complete 360 the moment you see her. Like, I know that's going to change your life. You're going to be like, oh, I'll never be the same. Because, I mean, right now you feel it, but I know when you have her in your hands and you look at that face, you're going to be like, oh, this is my child. And life will begin again. And I'm excited. I'm going to be right on FaceTime. Be like, Mark, call me.
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't really see why we would do another episode after this. It should be the season finale. But again, just in case, we might come back next week. But honestly, even if we don't, guys, you already know we make this show out of love. You can hear the love in our voice each and every episode because one, we love each other. And two, we really love television.
Literally all day, every day. All we do is watch television.
Yes. So thank you for tuning in. And what's our closing slogan, best friend?
Love, abundance, and baby hair instead of hair bundles. Oh, little Marley.
Yes, baby bundles.
We're going to change it for season 5. It's going to be baby hair. Okay.
No hair bundles. We'll come back with a little bark from Nino and a little coo from Marley.
Maybe we need to change our intro music. Send him like a mix of the dog and the baby.
Yeah. And when they do a little photo shoot together, that'll be our new photo.
Oh my God, season 5, we get a new picture, y'all. We added Marley and Nino into the graphic.
Oh my goodness.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.